Atul Gopal from Plugin India, and welcome to yet another episode of our weekly podcast. We are glad to have today with us Anant Nahataji. He is a managing director of the XCOM Group with a presence in India and Southeast Asia. Anant is a graduate in economics and mathematics from the University of Pennsylvania. And he started his career with Credit Suisse Investment Banking and has then come back to India and started working with the XCOM Group. XCOM is a leading player in the Indian power electronics market, and their latest foray is into the EV ecosystem, where they are providing comprehensive solutions with technologies for EV chargers and batteries. Anant is passionate about building technology-led businesses and has come up with very innovative and out-of-the-box ideas. So, welcome Anantji to the show.
Thank you, Atulji. Happy to be here.
Anant, the beginning of the group has been in telecom, you know, and your dad still kind of continues to run that business. So how did you kind of decide to shift over from one industry to the other?
So, our family business is in on the communication side, and that looks at that business where we produce variety of communication equipment. But as XCOM, though we were catering to the telecom segment, but the business was to do more with power and energy. What we used to supply, and we still supply, our power conversion products, battery products, which are much more closer to the technologies being used in EV. So both reasons, one, EV being, let's say a global phenomena, having huge opportunity in India, and a lot of technologies fundamentally, on a fundamental level, being similar to what we were exposed to working in the power electronics market, whether serving telecom or data centers or other industries. We had decent experience in those technologies. So I guess a combination of both those and strategic direction of our management and board pushed us towards EV.
You know, I believe that what got the telecom industry interested in battery-based backups, etc., was probably the high cost of running it on a genset. So was that something, or were there some other advantages? Just kind of getting a little bit of a, getting to understand your old industry before you move on to the new one.
Right. So in telecom networks around the world, energy cost is one of the biggest OPEX cost because of unreliable power. There have to be gensets installed at every site for it to be able to function, even if there is a loss of grid power. And with the rising fuel cost, pollution, a lot of companies are trying to go green. There has been a lot of focus on developing products which are innovative in nature. When I say innovative, three things. One, higher efficiency, so you waste less power to do the same thing. Second, innovative battery-based backup solutions. So when there is no power, instead of relying on gensets, you can rely a lot more on battery. So that's the area that we kind of came in with a lot of innovative solutions. Lithium-ion batteries, we are the first company to introduce them in the telecom sector in India back in 2014, coupled with some other, let's say incremental innovations. And today, there has been a sharp decline in use of gensets across, not only in India, but globally. With rise of the innovative solutions which I just spoke about. So overall, telecom networks are far more greener today than they used to be, and this journey is still continuing.
When you talked about battery, just kind of looking ahead into the future, do you have any plans to kind of use recycled automobile batteries as your power backup for stationary applications like the telecom industry? Or is that still something which is still too far in the future?
I would say it's both now and future. And the reason I say that, yesterday, to be able to get ROI on battery and get the most out of it, it's important that we think about the second life of batteries right from the beginning. So a lot of designs of battery which goes into automotive sector are happening, thinking about Second Life. So like Nissan Leaf, for example, one of the best global selling EVs, their batteries are used in solar street lights to light all the non-grid connected areas in Japan and other parts of the world. Even here, we have a partnership with MG Motors in India to use their batteries to develop stationary applications for Second Life by using those retired, if I may say, automotive batteries. This R&D work, technology work is happening as we speak by a lot of companies, including us. And why I say it's in the future, because EVs have just started in India. Last 2 years, in fact, last year was the first year where we got some significant volume. Before that, it was much more on a pilot scale. So it's still 4, 5, 6 years, depending on the usage of the cars, where batteries will really come out of the vehicles for use in Second Life. So still some years to really see batteries active in Second Life, but all the legwork is what has to happen today and over the next 2-3 years.
Moving on to charging, which is kind of your focus area in future. So how's the charging industry coming up? How's the charging station industry coming up?
Right. So, I think if you see the history in India, which is very recent about charging networks, 2019 was the first year where chargers started coming up. And before that, the story was always kind of ended in a catch-22 situation. The vehicle guys said that there is no charging network. How will the vehicles come? And the charging network people said the same thing. So government broke this jinx and aggregated certain demands of vehicle as well as the charging stations. And a lot of PSUs, WESL, PGCIL, NTPC, rolled out charging stations about 3 years ago, which gave the initial, density in some key cities for EVs to come out. Since then, now there is a much more widespread participation. We have charge point operators who are startups, with scale. And now even big conglomerates, whether it's Reliance Industries, whether it's Fortum, which is a big Finnish energy giant, whether it's Adani Total, and many other companies who have stepped into providing charging infrastructure. And the business model for every one, while the details may be different, but on a high level, it is to take advantage of the growing electrification, which is happening at this point and which will happen at a much faster curve over the next 4 or 5 years. And the stock of EVs being able to use this charging infrastructure. So, yes, I'm very happy with the growth. Today, on an average, depending on month to month, there are somewhere between 200 to 400 charging stations being installed monthly in India today by a combination of all charge point operators, OEMs, etc., which is quite a sizable number as part of public charging infrastructure. With more participation, with more funding available, we think this will continue to grow till 2030, definitely, and even beyond.
Are you guys making money, or is that still too far away in the future?
So as Exicom, we are product suppliers, we are technology suppliers, we don't invest in the charging station. So our business is really to empower all the charge point operators who are setting up the public infrastructure, or empower all the OEMs who are selling electric vehicles to residential customers and are bundling chargers along with it. That's our core business. But on your question, this is a long gestation game. And like any industry which grows very fast, there is bound to be consolidation. There are bound to be startups which succeed. Industry will go through its cycle. But today also, if you see a lot of charging network which is coming up, part of it will remain unutilized because that capacity is meant for the future. But a lot of it is being utilized as well because they're centered around anchor customers, which are commonly known as fleets. So we have, Lithium Urban Mobility Fleet from Bangalore. We have BlueSmart, famous, upcoming large fleet in Delhi, which are all electric. And many other fleets, they become the anchor customer to some of these charging networks which are coming up. So at least, you know, revenue to some extent, 30%, 40% is logged in by these fleets. And while the incremental capacity will gradually be used as more and more EVs come in the future.
So what are you seeing? Are the charging point operators concentrating on the cities, or is it the highways that they are after?
So, good question. So, charging infrastructure is required both in cities as well as on highways. While in the city, majority of the charging will happen at home. But India is, again, a unique country where not all the cars have a home or have a parking spot. So a lot of cars stand on the road and don't have a dedicated parking spot. So there is probably going to be higher percentage of public charging in city than elsewhere compared to US or Europe. And on the highways, for sure, like, you know, any hub city like Delhi, Jaipur, Delhi, Chandigarh, or Bombay, Pune, and many other routes like this, where car travel is very frequent and very by all types of customers, business customers, leisure customers, for them, and even the heavy-duty vehicles such as buses, trucks, there has to be highway charging. And today, there is focus by the charge point operators, some specifically focusing on one of these areas, some being more broad-based, focusing on both these applications. But yes, we do see charging infrastructure coming at in both these applications. And both are growing equally well.
The other day, we were at a Tata Motors event, and I was talking to Girish Wagh, who heads the passenger business. And we were kind of a bit worried about the economics of fast chargers for commercial vehicles. Like, for example, they're launching the Tata Ace, and my mathematics tells me that at 20 rupees a unit, which is what most charging point operators charge the customer, it's not really more cost effective compared to CNG. So what's your take on that?
Right. So charging cost, we have to see it as a blended cost. So that's point number one. And point number two is what will happen in future. So charging cost is heavily dependent on the power plus the time to charge, which is what a DC charger does. It's expensive, and that's why the service fee, which is being loaded by the charge point operator, is a lot more. So first on the power. Today, power, commercial power is expensive. No matter what we say, commercial power is expensive. But with such a big impetus on going renewable, and the share of renewable continuously increasing in India, and government having very favorable policy on potentially waiving off a lot of charges, you know, to do with wheeling, transmission, if it's for EVs, will potentially cause the power price to be lesser in future than it is today. Even today in states like Delhi, if you have a power connection for charging EVs, the price is very less. It's, if I'm not wrong, it's somewhere between 5 and 6 rupees. Which is very, very attractive. But today is because of subsidy. You know, tomorrow it will be because of combination of subsidy and some of the reforms in the electricity sector. And in long term, it will be just because of the reforms in the electricity sector. So that is one. And second is the service fee by the charge point operators. So as the volume and the scale of this industry grows, and as the network becomes more dense, and most importantly, as the utilization increases, this service fee will definitely go down, making the charging rate more attractive. And third, when we look at the charging cost as a vehicle owner, we look at the blended cost, because fast charging is a service where you're charging your car at least 6 to 7 times faster. And that's a luxury compared to 7-8 hours of home charging, so you got to pay for it. But when we look at the blended cost of charging, where 80% of the time the car is charged at home and only 20-30% of the time it's charged in a fast station, the blended cost is not very high. On the commercial side, because the example you mentioned is to do with the fleets, we have seen n number of examples, even when there was no subsidized power, the cars which are running more than 200 kilometers a day, in some cities maybe a little less, somewhere a little more, they absolutely have a positive TCO compared to today's ridiculously high fuel prices.
This episode of the Plug-in India podcast is brought to you by our awesome Patreon and YouTube members. For as little as just $1 a month, you can contribute to the work of Plug-in India and help keep the channel independent. Once you are a member, you get access to our Discord server where you can interact with the Plug-in India team members on a daily basis. Click on the join button on our YouTube channel.
Move on to the location. So you also have some of your own chargers. Is that correct? I think HP pumps, if I'm not mistaken.
No, as I said, we are only a product supplier and technology provider. So those chargers.
HP is the deliverer. Is the service provider at the particular pump.
Yes.
So one generic question: do you think petrol pumps make sense for putting up chargers, especially for car, because there's no restaurants around, and what do you do for 1.5 hours kind of twiddling your thumbs smelling the petrol? So what's your take on that?
That's a great question, and so personally I don't think all petrol pumps are great places for a charging station, and I know generally there's a thought process that wherever the petrol pumps are, let's put the charging station there. But you exactly rightly pointed out, charging stations need to be at a place where at least within 2 to 10 minutes of walking or getting a last mile transport, there is something to do, whether it's a coffee shop, cafe, or like a small market or a mall. There has to be some source of, for lack of a better word, let's say entertainment or some kind of community where a person can go and wait for an hour. Those are the best places where chargers should be put. Now, some petrol pumps may fit this criteria. It may make sense. Some may be just very busy intersection and it may make sense. But there is no standard rule that all petrol pumps are good for charging. 2-3 years ago, where we saw deployment only around the petrol pumps, today, majority of the deployments are not around the petrol pumps. So I think the CPOs know this business really well, and they're scouting today for real estate and putting chargers at those places which make sense in long term. Similarly, on highways, the chargers, instead of just being in middle of nowhere, are now very close to famous eating joints or the joints at which people take a break while driving long distances.
So we've been chatting a lot about cars, Anand, but my other area of concern for the future is commercial vehicles, and they might display slightly different behavior, especially on highways.
When you look at the heavy duty vehicles, there are two types of operations: one within the city, one on the highways. Within the city, if we take examples of bus, so a lot of the FAME II bus deployments have been for city transport. And this is a model where it is where the buses return back to the base. So usually you would see very large charging infrastructure set up in the depots where the electric buses return. And these are fast chargers, which are able to charge the bus within, 2 hours, if not less. So this is very heavily used infrastructure because buses have to be on the road for maximum time. So fast charging is the only way. On the highway, the deployment has not been much. There are multiple companies who are trying to create Greyhound of India, Greyhound is the big, US intercity bus service. Today, intercity bus transport is highly, regional in India. There is no national player. There are some big players, but no national players. So some companies are working in this direction. The economics in intercity bus using EV makes amazing sense, but the deployment is in infancy. In such cases, there is no right or wrong answer, but I would tend to think it will not be the bus companies, but charge point operators who would be owning the infrastructure on the highways. and them getting into packs with many bus operators or the OEMs themselves to be able to put money behind this infrastructure.
Right, and what would also be interesting to see is what happens in the trucking market, because that's kind of really icing on the cake. Whenever the truck starts shifting towards EV, we know kind of the industry has arrived, and that still seems a few decades away to me, at least at this point of time.
So, not sure about decades, but globally, if you see, truck market is just emerging. Truck market of EVs is just emerging. That's been the slowest segment, obviously, because a Class A truck is 30 tons and above. So, with such huge weight, carrying such heavy batteries, requiring very fast charging, which means the high capacity of charger, is not the easiest thing. So, because of let's say less attractive TCO than the counterparts in passenger vehicles or even buses, this is probably, this will have slower offtake.
You know, you're an equipment manufacturer, and you know, as much as we are all concerned about, you know, green, we also understand that one of the kind of losses that happen in a charger is heat losses. You know, so if you not have good chargers, you end up kind of wasting energy as heat. So what kind of efficiency do your chargers have, and is there any way we can get better?
Right. Now, this is, you touched a very important point, and this is often overlooked by a lot of customers. Efficiency is so critical, you know, and 1% efficiency less can, or 1% efficiency more can make your economics or break even point even shift by 6 months or maybe even we're about a year as well in some cases, because of the amount of power the charger is dispensing. And today it will be less because of less usage, but in future it will be more, so efficiency will make even more sense. We focus a lot on this area as a technology developer. Our chargers today have minimum of 95% efficiency, and this kind of efficiency is exhibited at all loads. What I mean when I say all loads, whether you're charging a car with a smaller battery or whether you're charging a bus with a significantly higher power, because the way power electronics work is if you load them at the right place, they will exhibit a good efficiency, but on left or right of that point, the efficiency may not be that good. So it's important to know to develop technology which have a relatively flatter efficiency curve, and making sure it's at least 95-96%. We do see this going to north of 97% with some of the upcoming technologies and upcoming components which the semiconductor companies are working on. So a really important topic for us as technology developer. We think we are on the leading edge of it today, and that's why our customers have to pay much lesser for electricity than some of our peers, compared to some of our peers. And going forward, this will definitely increase to 96, 97, or even north of it.
So 99, you think, is achievable, or 99 is kind of a little bit of kind of too far in the future?
And no, so I think 99 probably too far in the future, not in a practical product, because there is power conversion. So whenever there is power conversion, there will be some amount of losses.
The rest of it kind of goes off as heat, right? I understand. Or is there any other way that energy gets dissipated?
No, it's heat.
So heat brings me to one question. The battery industry specifically has been kind of, you know, a bit worried of late because of all this flaming and all that happens. So I just want a reassurance from your side that nothing like this happens at chargers, or what kind of safety measures do you have in your charging stations to ensure that, you know, with all the currents that you're handling, you will not have problems of something shorting up or going up in flames?
Right. So since you touched battery, we are also in the battery business. We do manufacture lithium-ion batteries, and there has been a lot of negative press about safety of battery, etc. Personally, we think today there are cells available to withstand temperatures, heat, and most of these fires, at least in our view, is not because of the heat, but more because of issues related to battery design or vehicle design or the kind of BMSs which are being used, which are not able to protect the battery in abnormal circumstances. That we think is the real reason for some of these unfortunate incidents. But as far as the chargers are concerned, they have many strict global standards which are must to be adhered to. In fact, one of the things we educate all the customers, including the government authorities, which put out a lot of tenders, is to make it mandatory for adherence of many global standards, because we are dealing with a very high voltage equipment which goes up to 1000 volts. And not just heat, but there are many other safety parameters which has to be taken into account. So users, even if they are not trained to use the EV charger, but still, you know, there is no way the safety should be compromised while he's unknowingly wrongly using the charger. If rightly, whether rightly or wrongly, whatever the case may be. So, as a charger manufacturer, we look at this in deep. We make sure we adhere to all the standards, comply with it, do validation for more than 6 to 12 months, and make sure the charger is safe to use in any circumstances.
This episode of the Plug-in India podcast is brought to you by our awesome Patreon and YouTube members. Click on the join button on our YouTube channel.
Again, one thing which I just remembered, I was speaking to the Blue Smart team a few years ago, and I was told that the chargers which are installed in basements in Delhi are working better than chargers which are installed at street level. So has that been your experience of other charging point operators also? And what role does temperature have to do as far as the energy transfer to the automobile is concerned?
Right, great question. So typically, you know, every piece of power conversion, including EV charger, it would derate in its performance if the temperature goes beyond a certain point. So, you know, if it's, let's say, north of 50 degrees or 55 degrees, the energy output of a charger, instead of 100%, may become 90% or whatever the, you know, way the technology has been designed. So I'm guessing in those, you know, months of peak heat, which you may be referring to, the charges in the basement may be a little bit cooler than the charges standing in direct heat, and that's why maybe exhibiting those behaviors. So again, here the, you know, technology company like us now have upgraded the technology to make sure our chargers can work with full power up to 55 degrees, so the customers don't experience any fallen energy output. But yes, if it's beyond that, there will be derating. Today, when you see charging station design, they can be very sophisticated with solar panels, shade for the car, for the people, maybe even some entertainment. So definitely a good point. And when we talk to a lot of our customers who are CPOs, we'll definitely bring this up.
So I'm told that companies like Tata Power are now looking at getting into their own charging manufacturing. Is that correct, or do you think if it's not happened now, it will happen at some point of time in the future?
I can't comment on Tata Power. At least I'm not aware about this. I think the main business of a charge point operator is to create a network, to create that experience for the users, to make sure network is available everywhere where electrification is happening. Now, some of them may see charging manufacturers as synergistic, but globally, if you see, I don't think there are even single digit examples of charge point operators making their own chargers.
Another related thing is, you know, when you talk some time back about some kind of consolidation, so you can't have a customer loading 100 apps for charging
Yes.
on his mobile phone. So is that something that you kind of see happening in future?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, I got some friends, some colleagues in office who travel by EV to let's say to hill stations and from Delhi. And the biggest pain they have is installing 5-6 apps and getting used to those 5-6 apps. And it's not a great customer experience. So I definitely see some kind of aggregation business models coming in the future. which may be in the form of consolidation between the CPUs. It may be some aggregators on top of the CPUs aggregating all the chargers, maybe a combination of these, but that has to happen. So a solution like Common Card may help for authentication once you're at the charger, but unlike petrol pumps, for chargers, you still need to look where the chargers are. You need to book a charger in advance, and those activities cannot be done by a common currency card that you're mentioning. So there is still going to be need for, some aggregation consolidation, which reduce the number of apps the customer has to use.
Anant, I think Google will do that job. So very soon Google will say, where's the nearest charger? And cut karke, he'll send you a Google map location. And I think that will be the end of the aggregator once Google gets into that business. Right. So Anantji, we've spent a lot of time chatting up about chargers, and we'll kind of take a little bit of a, as we come to the end of the podcast, we'll kind of get talking a little bit about your other business, which is kind of batteries. And, there's a kind of tussle that happens between battery swapping and fast charging, at least in the two-wheeler space. So which side of the battle are you on?
So today, I don't think it's one either or. And at least today on the two-wheeler, three-wheelers, there is not so many fast charging options. So it's more about swapping versus fixed battery. And as I said, I don't think it should be versus. There are many applications where something works. There are users' preferences, customer preferences. In fact, myself, 3 years ago, I was not a big believer in swapping. But today, we are one of the larger providers of products and technology around swapping. And I think in commercial use cases where the vehicles have to run north of 100, 120 kilometers, it makes a lot of sense. Similarly, if somebody has, let's say enough charging options, even a larger fixed battery can serve the same purpose. So it really depends on, the customer's business model and what charging options they have. Like, for example, a food delivery guy who goes really from point A to B to C to D, without really knowing in advance where those C, D, E point would be, something like battery swapping would work better, right? Because the charging options would be fewer in numbers available. For let's say some use case where the vehicles are coming back to warehouse for some picking, which is big enough, which provides enough charging options, maybe the other option works better. So anyways, there are various examples. I was just using those examples to kind of prove a point that both will coexist and both have their advantages, disadvantages, boiled down to how customers want to use a particular technology.
Do you think the same could be said for cars as well? Because we have NIO in China who's doing swapping, but apart from that, I can't think of any major players in that space.
Right. So cars is difficult in my opinion. Except NIO, you are right. So that's a very correct example. But there is no other example apart from NIO which has done successful swapping of batteries in cars. Tesla introduced it. But there was literally no adoption by customers. And Elon Musk himself said on the stage that it just seems customers are not using it. With long range of the cars today, where I think 500 kilometers will easily become the norm for most of the EVs, to swap batteries may not be as attractive as, some of the fleet customers. Yeah, and fast charger technologies anyways, today is already fast charging means an hour of charge. And in time to come, it's definitely going towards 20 minutes or sub 20 minutes. So this will not be an issue in terms of time as well, where swapping kicks in.
I kind of would agree with you on that. You work with different chemistries, right? So is there any particular, preferences that you have as a manufacturer? What do you think is the way ahead as far as the Indian climate is concerned for battery chemistry?
Right. So we work with the two main mainstream technologies today are NMC chemistry and LFP. Both we use extensively, and it depends upon the requirements of the OEM in terms of the overall vehicle he's trying to provide, which in terms of range, in terms of the amount of energy they're willing to pack in terms of the power they need. So some of the chemistry choices really come out, as an outcome of these requirements. At some places, the outcome is LFP, some cases the outcome is NMC.
As of now, if you look at the Exicom product mix, what is it skewed more towards NMC or is it skewed more towards LFP?
For us, it's 50-50. So for two-wheelers, we are using NMC. For three-wheelers, we are using LFP.
Okay. Yeah, because three-wheelers, the energy density is not so much of an issue compared to two-wheelers, I guess.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll end with a little bit of discussion as far as industry standards are concerned. And this probably relates both to battery chargers, so to the charging stations, as well as to some extent when you compare, look at swapping solutions. So, we had the earlier generation of chargers which were using CHAdeMO, if I'm not mistaken, the earlier EESL kind of thing. And we've not seen a Nissan Leaf in India as of now. So do you think we're going to move towards CCS2 or will we still kind of try to, have the same thing that the mobile phone industry saw, this charger, finally somebody kind of pushes it down your throat saying just USB-C, and Apple, for example, is being told by the European Union, said better come to USB or else kind of we stop selling you. Do you think something like that will happen with the charging points industry also?
So, at least the chargers for passenger cars and above, so let's say four-wheelers, it's pretty standardized. So globally, if you see, there are only three standards, GBT, CHAdeMO, and CCS2. CCS2 being European, GBT being Chinese, and CHAdeMO being Japanese. And the government has not mandated, DC001 earlier, which was the low voltage charger, had the GBT standard. But after that, most of the rollout of chargers which has happened is really based on the kind of cars coming in and the market requirement. And 80% of the deployment in India has been CCS2, right? So there is, and I think globally, people are converging towards CCS2, and so is the case in India. So first of all, even the universe of chargers is only three versus the phone example or anything else where there were hundreds of, options to choose from. So here the universe is very limited, even within that universe. In India and even globally, except for countries like China or Japan, there is aggregation or congregation towards CCS2, and that's will become the standard, the unset standard in India.
What about two-wheelers? Do you think we'll end up with a standard over there also?
So I think there is already a committee in the government working on the DC fast charging standard for light electric vehicles. From what I know, it's in advanced stages of work, which has voice of the industry, the OEMs, the battery makers, and obviously the policy makers. So hopefully we should have a standard fairly soon. So, and that's when you will start seeing fast charging networks for two-wheeler. Today, they are virtually non-existent. There may be some captive fast charging network like EtherGrid, etc. But largely for the industry, fast charging for light electric vehicle is not existing. But after the standard, we'll begin to see it.
One more kind of point of view of yours, basically, which is again related to swapping. So there are two schools of thought. One says that, if, for example, a company like Gogoro says ki, if I am going to put up my swapping station, they will only work with Gogoro batteries and nobody else. You say ki, Gogoro chargers, maybe Exicom battery chale jana chahiye or something like that. So what's your take as a manufacturer and an industry leader on this particular thing?
Yeah, so this is, you're ending the call with a very difficult question. So worldwide and even in India till now, all the swapping networks have been closed loop, which means a particular set of batteries working in particular type of charging stations, which are unique to, let's say a set of vehicles using those kind of batteries and that network, right? So very closed loop, which have worked successfully. There have been companies like Gogoro, which have really scaled that model while providing a brilliant consumer experience. Even in India, Sun Mobility, GOBP, who in fact use Exicom's battery and swapping technology to power their network, have done that at some level of scale. One of big governments' initiative is interoperability, which as an idea we think is good and in medium to long term it should come. But it will be first of its kind, and many technical and commercial challenges with respect to these have to be solved upfront before really jumping into. Eventually, all those issues will be solved. It's a question of timing. And after that, if a ubiquitous interoperable network is created, that obviously is a very good choice for the customers. Now, it doesn't have to be only one standard. It can be two batteries, three types of batteries. Like we have three types of charging standards, CHAdeMO, GBT, CCS. And everybody was free to install what they want. And ultimately, CCS came out to be the winner. But it's not like 100% of charger deployment in India is CCS. Maybe 70% is, 20% is GBT, 10% is CHAdeMO. And the market really decided that.
I have a very strong belief that the EV industry and specifically the charging and the battery industry have to really kind of have very firm action being taken by government, and I think that leadership should be shown by the government, and I'm looking forward to a very strong role that you're going to be playing in this process. So Anant, it was great having you over with us today, and definitely look forward to seeing and hearing more about you in future. So till then, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Atul. The fantastic questions, and hope your viewers will enjoy listening to some of this, and look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find transcripts for each episode on our website too. Plugin India is an EV advocacy group and a social enterprise dedicated to promoting electric vehicles and sustainable transport in India. Find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, or write to us at support@pluginindia.com. Do subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts or Spotify. Until we meet again, take care, stay safe, goodbye.